Well, it's a pleasure to welcome two of my favorite Spartans to the MSU Today microphones, and both are 2024 Outstanding Alumni Honorees in the College of Communication Arts and Sciences, which we're sitting in now here at MSU. Ashton Henderson is the Deputy Athletic Director for Championship Resources and Culture for Spartan Athletics. Ashton, welcome back.
Hey, it's always good to be in your presence, Russ.
And Jack Ebling, for my money, the best Spartan sports beat writer of all time. You hear him on the drive with Jack and see him on Press Pass. Jack, great to finally have you on. I can't believe it took this long.
Hey, Russ, anytime I'm in a club with Ashton Henderson, it's a good place.
Good, no doubt. So let me start by asking you both, just how does it feel to be honored by your alum, your alma mater, and this award? Jack, you first.
Unbelievable. I couldn't imagine something like this when you think how many incredible people have come through ComArtSci. We talk about 60,000 graduates, and it's always nice to be recognized by your alma mater.
Ashton, how does it feel to you?
I think it's surreal. You know, you think about where you've come from. You look at a place. I'm from Florida, so geographically, did it make sense for Floridian to be in the Midwest? And, you know, for me, my faith is quintessential to who I am, and I go back to that the Lord strategically brought me to Michigan State. And it wasn't the athletic prowess. It was the academic prowess that really shined in the end, and the relationships and the people in this college who have poured into me immensely, and why this honor just means so much to me for that reason and so many more.
Who recruited you besides the Lord from Michigan State who was responsible for getting Ashton here?
I was very fortunate to be recruited by the Lucius Selman. He was a phenomenal coach for us in the Spartans in the John L. era. And that ended up getting Doug Nessmeyer, which when you see his son playing in college football now, you're like, man, things are getting a little bit seasoned for me. So I'm just grateful that those gentlemen invested in me to get me here. And obviously playing for Coach D the rest of the way was the best 3 years of my life and experience. And just grateful for his leadership and mentorship still to this day.
And what about MSU attracted you, and sort of talk about the impact it's made on you?
MSU is just anything that I've ever been able to accomplish in life. It all obviously started here in the College of Comm Arts and Science, but those relationships led out to building some lifelong brotherhoods with young men that I look up to, who are amazing fathers, who are amazing leaders, who their countenance and who they are as people just shine brightly. And so for me, Michigan State has always been a shining star. When I came on this campus, I knew it was special. I remember telling my parents and seeing their faces when I said, you know, I know where I want to go to college. And they were all leaned in and excited. And I told them Michigan State, and they were like, what? And so, but I think, you know, fast forward almost 18 years now, and they're coming back here in the next several weeks to see me get honored, which gives them chills, gives me chills that happened, and they gave me the autonomy to make that decision.
Yeah. And Jack, what originally brought you to MSU in the 70s, and how has it impacted you?
I was going to say first, Russ, that everyone is grateful that Ashton made that decision except Northwestern, the greatest comeback in
I was going to get to that, right? Ashton, your scoop and score off of Devin Thomas's block punts began the greatest comeback in the history of college football, October 21st, 2006.
How does it? There you go, man. My agent Jack's always got that down pat.
Love it.
High snap, and they blocked the kick. The Spartans blocked the kick. Devin Thomas has blocked the kick.
He's going, George.
It's scooped up. And going to the end zone is Ashton Henderson down the left sideline. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, MSU.
Audio courtesy of Scott Moore and the Spartan Sports Network.
I came here a century ago, seems like, in the late 1960s. And truth be told, my dad was a Michigan fan. I grew up going to Michigan games. And it was my freshman year of high school, and we had a field trip up here. And we went to State Capitol in the morning, and then we were supposed to go to the planetarium on campus in the afternoon. And I didn't want to sit in a dark place. I figured I'd fall asleep. So, you know, very curious guy, I said, wow, look at this place. I'm going to roam around here for a couple hours, and they won't know I wasn't in there. So I wandered across and I went into the Union Building. And I heard pool balls. So I went downstairs and walked around the corner and smack, right into the biggest person I had ever seen. And I think my head hit him just about the navel. And I looked up and up and up, and it was Charles Bubba Smith.
Wow.
And I had more fun. I almost missed the bus going back to suburban Detroit. But I said then, man, this is the coolest place on earth. And then 3 years later, when I enrolled, I found out I was right.
And you were in maybe the world's best J school, too. I'm sure that helped you hone your craft.
And I didn't even understand all that at the time. My goal was to be on television, radio, be a broadcaster. And then I decided after I got my degree that I didn't really want to do that. So I decided I was going to be a Big Ten football coach. And I was very close to being a grad assistant at Michigan State when Denny Stoltz was dismissed. And I had gone back to school to get a communication education degree. And I taught in schools and things. And somehow I wandered into, it's a long story, wandered into the Lansing State Journal. And they couldn't get rid of me for 25 years. A guy named Ed Sinesco was responsible. I mean, talk about dumb luck. I see these people now, students, who are so gifted and so prepared. And they've done all the right things in the internships. And they can't get a break. And everything I've ever done has been dumb luck. So, you know, just managed to be there and then wind up 25 years later back in television, radio, and writing books. And just, my dad used to say before he died, kid, you ever going to get a real job? And I guess the answer is no, Dad.
And Ashton, let me ask you, because we mentioned you're the Deputy Athletic Director for Championship Resources and Culture. Talk about what championship resources are and the culture you're after.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm grateful. Alan Haller had an amazing vision when I was, you know, going through this process as it relates to coming back to my alma mater. But it all goes back to people. You know, Jim Pignatero was a shining star and a light to me and provided a path to get to Comm Arts Science as well as support me to get my master's and stick around. But Championship Resources is something that you see that moniker, you see that nomenclature becoming more prevalent throughout the intercollegiate athletic space. You can't win championships unless you have the ultimate folks and optimal opportunities and experiences for them to thrive. So, for example, many would equate that moniker to go with external facing marketing, tickets, fundraising, all those different elements of the game. But for us, it's athletic training, it's nutrition, it's athletic performance, it's mental health, it's sports science. It's really understanding those areas and really putting our resources into spaces where our athletes can be the best versions of themselves. And you can see through Alan's vision what has come to be when you invest in Olympic sports, when you invest in every sport that we have, and the success that are coming from those trees of investment through Champions Edge, which is a program and platform that fuels all the initiatives that we have. So for me, there's 9 units that I champion. I have 10 direct reports, and we're all in a relentless pursuit to provide the best outputs and outcomes for our student athletes every single day. And to see it all come to fruition, this was a special year for Michigan State Athletics. And the best part is the best is yet to come.
And what about part of your kingdom, I think, is the name, image, and likeness. I still think it's worth explaining what that is to people. Yeah. And maybe you want to talk about the new Spartan Nation NIL.
Yeah, name, image, likeness is getting ready to turn 4 years old, but it feels like Methuselah to many of us in quite some times. If you're not familiar with that reference, that is the oldest person to walk the earth from the scripture, as they would say. But I think, you know, it's a different day and age, and name, image, likeness has really morphed into more so how do you gain competitive advantage in the landscape. And one thing we do know is that NIL is not moving or changing. It's not going anywhere. So how can we as a department continue to be innovative and embrace this and really continue to put our best foot forward? We have an amazing team. We have Alex Bresky, Darian Harris, and many others who are helping us lead the charge to be the best. In fact, Michigan State, still the reigning best institutional program in the country for NIL innovation and empowerment. which is through our partnership with the Eli Broad College of Business and the Multicultural Business Programs, which leads to what we do, which is a shameless plug. April 11th, we have our inaugural business summit where you get to learn and see how our student athletes have partnered with local businesses here in East Lansing in the greater mid-Michigan area. And Alex Bresky's leading that for us. And Darian has been leading what's called an elite student athlete educational program. So it's going to be hard to dethrone us. We continue to do more, stretch ourselves, which leads us to the evolution of where we are now with Spartan Nation and IL. Look at it as a vitamin, a supplement, an addition. We're going to continue to provide elite education and opportunity and innovation. What Spartan Nation and IL does is provide the opportunities for us to stay competitive in the landscape, which is ever changing every day, to provide experiential opportunities for fans and, you know, stakeholders and various other folks to help us continue to move the needle in NIL, which is necessary. Every amount matters, no matter how big or small, in this landscape. And really grateful for Greg and Don Williams and many other Spartans who are fighting the good fight to help us separate ourselves from all of the pack as we head into this next chapter of collegiate athletics.
And I should say SpartyNIL.com is the place to check out more on Spartan Nation NIL. And Jack, to completely change the subject, something I've wanted to ask you for a while, and I know we could have a conference on this, but how has the world of journalism changed in your time? It's kind of, where's it going? What's the state of it? What's concerned you? What are you hopeful about?
You know, when you think about journalism and Michigan State, so many incredible graduates, and I was not one of them. I'd written a couple of stories for the state news, a couple, to fulfill a class requirement. But I was involved in all different parts of ComArts Sci. I was an actor. I was on a theater scholarship. I was involved in 14 musical comedies and things. Met my wife over at McDonald Hall. I was Snoopy in Your Good Man, Charlie Brown. And, you know, dancing on the doghouse, all that kind of stuff. But journalism is endangered. Hate to say that, but you see what's happening to daily newspapers. You see the disinformation that's around us all the time. And now with AI, it's becoming more difficult for people to determine the truth. That's April Fool's Day. And I had people calling me, you hear about Aiden Giles, he's leaving, and you know, Jaden Akins is leaving. You know, none of this was happening. And they were having fun with the joke, but sometimes it isn't a joke. And when it involves the future of our country, it's sad. It's also sad that journalists are underfunded and endangered and in many cases threatened by the powers that be.
So if you were the czar of journalism, what do you recommend?
Out of my pay grade, but I would say, first of all, maybe public funding. I know people don't like to hear that because it usually equates to tax dollars, but I think it's that important.
Yeah.
Public radio has an interesting model. I think that for a long time that wasn't relevant to conventional journalism, but now it's becoming more and more in need, and I wish there was a way where there was a truth meter and people could see that, and they would know who to believe. We all have sources that we trust and some that we don't. But for a lot of people now, that line has become so blurred. When you hear about things like alternate facts, there are no alternate facts. There's facts are not facts. And right now, people are saying, well, you know, it's just someone's perspective on it, not understanding that journalism is all about truth.
Yeah, I would love to. This is Jack does, and I have to say this, I've always admired his work.
Me too.
And who he is as an individual more so than anything. And to be even honored with him is, I get chills more about that than anything else, because he's been such a positive influence, peer influence on me as a student athlete, even through adulthood. So I had to say that because you have been a driving force for so much good. And I just appreciate who you are and who you continue to be to me and many others. So now I can get to my question. So Jack, you know, with all of kind of where, you know, your knowledge and how you've kept a good hold and on all the things happening in collegiate athletics, what's your philosophy on where we're heading. What do you mm-hmm. what do you think, you know, if you were the czar of, you know, our jobs in collegiate athletic space, what do you see and how can we benefit from things you're observing?
Great question.
I think in almost any realm, when you have a problem that isn't addressed, it leads to an overreaction. And you can see that in society. You can see it in government. And I think in collegiate athletics, there were so many things that weren't taken care of for a long time. Students weren't compensated. Students were restricted too much in what they could do. Now, name, image, and likeness is a breath of fresh air if it is name, image, and likeness. But I'm afraid in many cases, it's just become an outright bidding war. And the rich become richer, which is a problem I think you have when we talk about the plutocracy in this country. That's something that is also in play for a lot of schools. And I think in terms of movement, athletes should be allowed to transfer. Coaches change. Athletes should be allowed to make a move. Maybe the coach who recruited you is gone. Someone else comes in. They didn't want you. Different system. All the things. Why should you be held there for the rest of your career? But when I see athletes moving three times, chasing the bag, or athletes who show up on a campus, get their money, get their car, whatever it is, and Ohio State is a quarter system school, like Michigan State used to be. And quarterback came in there, got his money, played in a game, never went to class because classes hadn't started yet, and winds up in Austin, Texas. So I think we've gone a little too far, and if you look at the pro model, everyone says, well, you know, want to be like the pros, want to be like the pros. Well, do they really want to be like the pros? Because the pros have a contract. And I don't think we're ever going to get a situation in college athletics where there's a draft of high school players. That's not coming. But if someone is drafted, they have a three-year commitment, and then there's an option year on top of it. So you can't midway through your rookie year say, I don't like my position coach, or, you know, I wish I had been drafted in New York instead of Green Bay. And so that's kind of the way it works if you want to play the game. And I think we're going to have unionization at some point, maybe not the too distant future. I think we're going to have contracts of some sort and maybe a little sanity. That would be a good thing.
I guess, are you hopeful and optimistic about the future of intercollegiate athletics?
I am with
too,
people
then.
Like this
yeah,
guy.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And you can feel the charisma coming off of him there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can see why Alan Haller had the vision he did.
Good point.
Yeah. What's the biggest challenge you face? What makes you wake up in a cold sweat?
I think in this day and age, from an athletic director standpoint, folks who are here to help manage the day-to-day in my role as a deputy, the challenges we face currently is we are of a posture where you've always been taught to be proactive, think ahead, think, you know, more so with a lot of agility and creativity. And right now we're in a status where there's a lot of unknowns. And you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself and put things in motion in place where you don't know what the outcomes are going to be. And so it's a very it's a catch-22. It's a conundrum of all types. I think the greatest challenge is what's to come and how do we prepare for that and continuing to be on the forefront, which I'm very, very grateful that Michigan State will always have a seat at the table and be a decision maker wherever this landscape is taking us. And it's already a line of demarcation has been drawn when you see the Big Ten and the SEC with the college football playoff. That's public knowledge, and you see how the distribution of revenue is going to be disseminated where the Big Ten is king and queen. So I think, you know, just being prepared, continuing to provide elite spaces to our student athletes, equity is always a huge draw and challenge. I come of the background of trying to be inclusive to all student athletes and ensuring their experience is just as good. Rowing's experience is just as equally as good as football and other things of that nature, and how we treat them, how we service them, how we support them. So I think those are the challenges and a lot of tough decisions that are coming, which we're normally in place and understand those, but there's a lot of a lot of hearsay and things out in the media about those who aren't in the arena and what needs to be done. And I think once those things level out, that's what brought me back from professional sports, because I believe in the college model and I believe it will level set and we will get back to the challenges that we've overcome, which, don't forget, these are just mere reflections of history. You know, SMU and the death penalty, all the various things that you see through the modern era of college athletics and various, we've dealt with a lot and we will overcome this, just as we have with cost of attendance barriers or the Austin payments, and everyone was scrambling. How are we going to do this? What are we going to do? It just takes a little innovation and complex thinking and bringing folks together to get to a common good, which we will continue to do.
You know, Russ, Woody Hayes, very polarizing figure,
yes.
University Southeast of here, wrote a terrific book. I don't know how much of it he wrote, but some, called You Win With People. And the idea is, it's not your accomplishments, it's the people who are doing the accomplishments. Michigan State has, I believe, 6 championships already this school year, but it's not about that. The important thing is the development of people who are going to serve this university for 50, 60 years after they leave. And I think that's one of the things I feel best about with Michigan State.
No better example than Ashton sitting here with us right now. So.
Perfect. And I think that's also true for the College of Communication.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, I'll just say I want to just go on record and just thank everyone who's helped me through the comm arts and science journey. There are too many. You can't get to naming names. You get yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
But they all know who they are, and I've done some introspective work through my speech here to help and name them all personally. For their inspiration, their dedication, and commitment to this amazing college. And I'm just so grateful and just blessed to have this experience, and that my parents and those alike and my future wife and all these folks will be there that have been supporters of me and see that happen. So thank you for all you do for MSU Athletics, for all you've done for me, and what I will do and be an advocate for this amazing and the best college at MSU for in perpetuity. And anything I can do for any student, anybody, I will run through walls to help this institution and this college. So that's a commitment I'm here to make.
I think about being here for 6 years, and I might have the undergraduate record for credits, 300 credits here. Before they finally kicked me out. But Michigan State has run through my veins since 1969. And
that meeting with Bubba.
Yeah, right. Well, yes.
Did you shoot pool with him, by the way?
I did not. I wish I had. But 25 years later, I wound up with him in New York at his College Football Hall of Fame induction. I have a great picture of the two of us in tuxedos talking about it. And I think I told him that story, and he went, ugh. But I can tell you that having had a career, I've now seen 55 straight Michigan State football games. I've seen covered, actually, 13 Michigan State head football coaches.
Wow.
Only 3 basketball coaches. Thank you, Tom.
Yes,
so, you know, it's been a labor of love, to say the least.
Well, Ashton and Jack, congratulations again. Thanks so much for coming in and chatting with me today.
Thanks for having us, Russ.
Thank you.
That's Ashton Henderson. He's the Deputy Athletic Director for Championship Resources and Culture at Michigan State University. Got his BA in Advertising in 2010 and his MA in Public Relations in 2012. And Jack Ebling got his BA in TV and Radio in 1973 and his BA in Communications in 1975. Both our 2024 Outstanding Alumni Award honorees in the College of Communication Arts and Sciences here at MSU. And again, guys, great talking with you. Congratulations. I'm Russ White. This is MSU Today.